All rise. Court is in session. Call now 215-263-1079. Court Radio 107.9 WRNB is on. Brought to you exclusively by the law offices of Silvers, Langsam, and Weitzman, better known as MyPhillyLawyer.com.
And a great Sunday morning to you. Happy day, happy day. This is Tiffany Bacon. I am your co-host here for Court Radio, and I welcome you. You could be anywhere listening, but you decided to listen to us, and we thank you for it. Today is the day where you get to call in and have your legal questions answered. So if there's something troubling your mind, your soul, your pockets, or something like that, and you need some legal advice, feel free to give us a call, 215-263-1079. And as always, we are graced with the presence of the one and only Dean Weitzman. Dean, good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Bacon.
Hello. And also Mr. David Rappaport. We are blessed by his presence as well. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine.
All right, fellas. So
good to be here.
It's great to be here. So we have lots on the table today, as usual. So what is on your mind, Dean, this morning?
Well, this morning we're going to talk about our hot button legal topic today is going to be uninsured motorists. What happens? What happens when you make the decision to travel without insurance in Philadelphia and the environs?
Ouch.
Or what happens when you're hit or involved in an accident, injured by somebody who had the bad graces to travel without insurance? So we're going to talk about both sides of that fence. But before we get there, David's got some topical topics.
First, I was at the Phillies game last night. And
Fighting Phils.
Great game, 9-6 against Washington, and I witnessed Ryan Howard hitting his grand slam, which was awesome.
Why was that? I mean, it's always good to get a grand slam, but was there some significance to this one?
Yes, there was. First of all, the significance was I've been to several games. I haven't been to a lot, but whenever it's bases loaded and a ball player comes up, you're always anticipating or hoping they're going to hit it. Mm-hmm. But something with Ryan Howard, it's almost as if everyone knows he's going to hit it. Wow. And everyone there just knew, they just knew it. It was almost a foregone conclusion. And he railed that thing 475 feet, I think it was. But anyway, wow. The significance is that he's now the leader of the Phillies all-time Grand Slams. He has 8.
Wow.
Mike Schmidt had 7.
Mm.
And the significance of it also is that when Mike Schmidt got his 7th, it was in 1983, I believe, mm-hmm. and he had already played, I think, 5,500 career games.
He was at the tail end of his career at that point.
Well, in 80, what, they won in...
80?
They won the World Series, and then...
Yeah.
I don't know if that was... I guess it was the tail end, you could call it. But mm-hmm. the point is that Ryan Howard has gotten 8 now, and it's like a third of the games that
wow.
Mike Schmidt had played. So
wow.
This guy is smacking them out of the park. It was amazing, though. The energy was awesome.
Awesome, awesome.
So shout out to Ryan Howard and the Phils.
Go Phils.
Go Phils. Ryan negotiated a sweet contract for the next few years, and mm-hmm. he has, so far so good, he has earned his money. You know, I mean, it's once
absolutely.
You see these guys, they negotiate these big contracts and then they forget what got them there.
Mm.
And that's not Ryan Howard. He lost weight. He's in his, prime condition, and he's smacking the ball like we paid him to do.
Well, what's good to see also is Hamels pitched, and he didn't have a great game pitching. But what's nice is we don't have a team anymore that relies upon one player.
Mm.
We have some depth. Yep.
I'm not just talking Ryan Howard and Hamels and those two, but the whole team. Everyone mm. contributed. It was a really good game. So
awesome, awesome.
Yes.
Good to see that. And
go
best of luck to the Phillies this year. Hopefully they'll do it again. That
yes.
would be awesome. Well, listen, before we get to our legal hot button topic, we already have a caller calling in with a question. Let's go to Annette, who is calling in from the great state of New Jersey. Annette, good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio. Okay, Annette, are you there, Mama?
Yes.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
All right. Oh, I have a question to see if my car goes under the lemon law.
Okay.
Okay. I had the car now just about a year. The first 3 months, I had to get tires.
Annette.
I had to get brakes.
Annette, hold on 1 second.
I'm going to ask you a couple questions so we can get right to it. Is the car, when you purchased it, was it purchased new?
No, it was used.
Okay. And did it come with a warranty?
Yes.
Okay. And is it still under that warranty?
No, come to find out, no.
Okay, so how long was the warranty?
That's the point. I never got any paper saying how long is my warranty or anything.
Okay.
Every time I ask for it, it's in the mail and all that. So when I took it, when I had my strut, when I took for my break, and the guy said, you know your strut leaking. So I took it back to the car dealer. They said, oh, yeah, you're on the warranty. You just made it. And I bought extended warranty.
Okay, so here's the deal. You're not subject to the Lemon Law because the car is not new.
Pennsylvania.
As David rightfully says, the suggestion or the tips I'm giving you here apply to Pennsylvania, not necessarily New Jersey, mm-hmm. although I think they follow the same general laws that we have here.
Well, there's a Lemon Law for new cars, and Jersey also has a similar type of law for used, but we don't have that in Pennsylvania.
Right.
But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So the car needs to have a warranty in order for there to be potentially a Lemon Law case, and then the car needs to be off the road for 30 days for any reason in the shop, or in the shop 3 times for the same problem, and each time it comes back unrepaired, you continue to have the same problem. So if you have different problems and it's not been off the road for more than 30 days, the Lemon Law does not apply to you. However, if you have a warranty, whether they send it to you or not, you may be able to enforce these claims under the warranty, and for that you would need to bring an action in court to force them to make the repairs or pay for the repairs that you believe were under the warranty. Any proof you have, as we always say, it is only as good as the proof you have. So if you got it in your head that you had a warranty, but you absolutely have nothing in writing, then you're going to be at a disadvantage. But if you have anything at all in writing that there was a warranty when you purchased that car, then that's the kind of information you want to bring to court with you to prove your case.
Okay.
All right. Annette,
thanks,
I hope
Annette.
We were able to help you.
Yes, thank you, and I won't double dip.
She's a listener.
All right, a listener. We like that.
All right, you do the same. We also have Derek calling in from Jamaica, believe it or not. Jamaica, he lives in Jamaica, but wants to buy a house here in the United States.
This is our second Jamaican calling from Jamaica. Are you Derek?
Yes, I'm Derek.
Hi, Derek. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Okay, Tiffany. Morning to you all.
Morning.
Yes, what I want to ask, I'm living in Jamaica, but I have a U.S. visa, and I come to the U.S. all the while, but I want to buy a house in the U.S. I want to know the do's and the don'ts, if it will be affecting me or what it will do for me if I bought a house in the U.S.
What
the procedure I should go through.
Okay, you're permitted to buy land in the U.S. There's no prohibition. Buying property in the U.S. will not change your immigration status. So you can buy it and you can visit it as often as you're permitted to with regards to your visa. I think the primary concern is that in some jurisdictions, the purchase of property is kind of a run-of-the-mill thing, and they don't retain attorneys. But I would say that in your instance, I would definitely retain an attorney in the transaction of purchasing that house.
Not only that, the things you should be concerned with is when you're not there, you need to make sure that you continue to pay the real estate taxes. If you're renting it when you're not there, you need to get a license to do that, which is a very easy thing to do. But, you know, you need to get a license and have a lease and protect yourself that way. So, you know, I don't know how familiar you are with the laws here as opposed to in Jamaica, but I'm sure they differ greatly with responsibilities in owning property.
And property in the United States is owned a fee simple, which means that you own it. You own it for life. You own it and can deed it to your heirs. You own the home and the land the home sits on for the most part, unless you're in certain areas where Your home may be built over water, in which case you have to be careful there. Again, to really protect yourself on the ins and outs of this transaction, it's not that complicated, but because you're not here, all the more reason, have counsel involved in the jurisdiction or area where you're thinking of purchasing this home.
Thank you very much for that information. I'm glad for that, and I'll pursue in doing that, sorting a lawyer to do it and give me the full information on paper, and then I will look it through, and then I will go ahead and do what I want to do.
All right,
Derek. Have a blessed Sunday down in the islands.
Have a nice day. I thank you people for your station and for all the information you have to put out to people that you can understand more about each other. You take care. Have a nice day.
All right. Thank you. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Court Radio on Philadelphia's R&B station 107.9 WRNB, brought to you by the law offices of Silvers, Langston & Weitzman, better known as MyPhillyLawyer.com. We have a whole host of callers already.
Wow.
We haven't even talked about our topic yet, so
we haven't.
I'd like to take one last call, if that's all right.
Yeah, as long I want an Italian heiress is the next call, please.
Italian heiress.
Oh, hush.
I'd like someone from the French Riviera.
Oh, hush. All right, let's take this last call before we unveil our hot button topic. We have Sandra calling in from Philadelphia. Sandra, good morning. You're live in the air with Court Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sandra.
I just got a letter inviting me to information meeting and / interview with the Philadelphia School District, something I've been wanting for a long time.
Lucky.
But I presently work at a charter school, and I'm supposed to be getting a contract for the future school year.
Okay.
I wonder, if I sign this contract, does that mean I'm locked into this school and I can't get out if the school district offers me a position?
Well, every contract is different.
Yeah.
And, I can't tell you without actually seeing the contract what the terms are and whether that would bind you to them for the entire year. I would say that if you have any questions, and you certainly raise valid points, you need to have that contract reviewed before you sign it.
Before you sign it. That's key.
Yeah. So that if you're contemplating getting an offer from the city of Philadelphia and may not want to fulfill that contract, you want to make sure that there's an escape clause from the contract. So have it looked at. Don't assume that even though it may seem like you can get out of it, that you can. And by all means, feel free to give us a call when you get that contract. Maybe you can fax it over. We can take a look at it for you and give you some advice.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right, Sandra. Thank you very much. All right, so fellas, what is the legal hot button topic for the day?
It involves autos, so I wanted to just, there's one piece of news I think we need to at least mention. If people aren't aware of this, tomorrow we will own GM. We will, actually the taxpayers will, the government will own the majority of General Motors.
I want a Corvette.
I was just going to say, we should. Here's what I think. We should all ask for a meeting, since we are the majority holders now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a meeting. Let's fire all the executives and then issue a bylaw that says that we all get a car.
There you go.
I mean, at least until they, you know.
But when you get that car, you better have insurance. So now let's.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So go ahead, Dean. Start with the...
Well, you know, there's a sound that you don't want to hear when you don't.
There it is.
When you,
you
don't
never want to hear that.
You don't want to hear that sound, especially when you don't have insurance.
Exactly.
Well, I would like to hear it if I called them and I need them.
I mean, I'm talking about if you don't have insurance, you get pulled over.
Yeah, if you don't have insurance, that's not the sound you want to hear. Because why? What happens?
Why?
Well, in the city of Philadelphia, you're going to lose your car. Your car is going to get live stopped.
Live stopped.
It's a law peculiar to the city. And what happens is they take the police have the authority to impound your car until you've produced evidence of proper registration, license, and insurance. Mm-hmm. And I know people out there who don't really care. They buy, I guess, throwaway cars, and they think, oh, it's cheaper to, you know, buy a $500 car, and then if I get stopped and I lose it, than it is to have insurance, registration, and a license.
Well, maybe, because, you know, you have to pay to get it out. You have to pay a fine.
Oh, yeah.
By the time you're done, you're spending probably over $500. So
yeah.
It might actually be sound thinking. No, but it's not. And it's we were going to explain why.
It's antisocial thinking.
Yes.
Oh,
that's
it's antisocial
one.
Thinking because, you know, you're not taking into consideration the damages you've done. And so let's talk about it from the perspective of the innocent party first, who gets struck by somebody with no insurance. What do they do? Their car is all banged up. I've gotten these calls. The car's banged up and they're injured. And they come with tears in their eyes and they say, what can I do? And if you have the proper insurance on your automobile, there's a lot you can do. If you have property damage coverage, okay, or what people call full coverage, then your insurance company will repair your car. If you have uninsured motorist and you've sustained an injury, your insurance will pay you as if they're the at-fault person's insurance, and they'll pay you for your pain and suffering if you have uninsured motorist. If you have neither of those, then you're going to you have to go out of pocket for your own property damage and your own pain and suffering. And unfortunately, I've seen statistics that indicate that almost half of the people operating automobiles in Philadelphia at any given moment don't have insurance. And so the chances are very good that you're going to be hit by somebody who has no insurance. If you do not protect yourself by purchasing uninsured motorist and collision coverage, then you're going to be bare.
You see, this is why we if you remember from a prior show, we had the auto law show of just regular insurance. You know, people think, okay, I need insurance. So they go and they get what they think is quote unquote full coverage. And what they get is liability coverage, which means if they cause an accident, they're covered. Okay, fine. They decide not to get uninsured and underinsured because that costs a little bit more money. They don't get collision because they have an old car. And they get the really a basic policy that costs them the least amount they have to pay. But Dean, I'm sure you, I know I in my office, countless clients who get into an accident. It's not their fault. They're stopped and hit. And they are crying to me, it's my car, it's my only source of transportation. I don't have collision because either I couldn't afford it or I don't, you know, I didn't think it was worth it. And they caused the accident. They should pay. And our answer to that is, yeah, you know what? Ultimately, they may have to pay, but they don't have to pay now. And they can say we're not paying and we have to fight them. And that process could take over a year. Meanwhile, you don't have a car. And so there's two reasons to get insurance. One, to protect yourself in case you cause an accident. But I think more importantly, to protect yourself in case there's an accident that's caused and the person who caused it against you doesn't have the coverage. Right. You need to make sure you have coverage to protect yourself. A lot of people don't think about that when they buy insurance. They just say, oh, I'll buy what I have to.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Court Radio on Philadelphia's R&B station, 107.9 WRNB. If you have a legal question, now would be the time to get it answered. Call us at 215-263-1079. Again, that's 215-263-1079. If you're unable to reach us by telephone, you can always send us an email at courtradio1079 WRNB at gmail.com. So we would like to hear from you, and we would like to be able to answer your questions.
And I'm sure we'll be getting those calls. We started off with a ton of calls. And I wanted to also remind people that the My Philly Lawyer blog is up and running. You can go to www.myphillylawyerblog.com. And you'll see the ramblings of My Philly Lawyer. I try to post a couple times a week about various topics of interest, and people can comment on those. And I also believe that it's the greatest place for you to make suggestions for future radio shows. And if we get enough people writing, you know, asking for the same topic, then we'll create a radio show just around that topic. So it's www.myphillylawyerblog.com. Go to it today and check it out. So what I'm thinking is people spend money, right, for insurance. They might spend, you know, let's say they spend $1,000 a year for basic coverage in Philadelphia. For a few $100 more, you can have the coverage necessary to protect yourself. Okay, because really, when that accident happens, you want to make sure if you've spent $1,000, you want to make sure that you're covered. Well, you're going to need to spend a few hundred dollars more. You need to talk to your agent and make sure you get the uninsured motorist coverage. Without it, if you're struck by somebody with no insurance, you're going to have to go after that individual personally. And as we all know, you can't oftentimes get blood from a stone. And if the person didn't have the common sense to get insurance, they probably don't have the assets necessary to cover a judgment that you might obtain.
Yeah, don't be scared by the terms uninsured and underinsured. Excuse me. It's common sense, really, the two words. Uninsured motorist coverage. That means you're buying coverage in case someone who hits you is uninsured. Underinsured means, let's say the person who hits you only has minimal coverage in Pennsylvania, which is $15,000 to pay you. And let's say, God forbid, it's a very bad accident and you are disabled from work and you're severely injured and your case is worth a lot more than 15. Well, all you're going to get is 15 from that person. And if they don't have any other assets, which they usually don't, then that's it. You're done. Your case could be worth $1 million and you're getting 15,000 and that's it. And there's nothing more we can do. Another thing that clients often say, well, how come? That's not fair. Well,
You're not getting the money from their insurance company. It's not like you're suing their insurance company. You're getting the money from their policy, mm-hmm. and the carrier only has to pay you what their insured purchased.
Correct.
And so, as David rightfully points out, underinsured motorist is for those claims where there is insurance, but just not enough. So, what happens if somebody hits you with no insurance and you do get a judgment against them? They lose their license. The uninsured person, that's probably the worst thing that can happen to them, is that they will lose their license until they pay the judgment.
I was going to say, is that forever?
Forever.
Ouch.
I've gotten calls from people who were uninsured 15 years ago, and they had a judgment against them, and they haven't had a license for 15 years. They decide to become productive members of society. They want to be responsible citizens, and they're cleaning up their act. They'd like to get a driver's license, and they say, how do I do it? And I say, you have to pay the judgment. What I am able to do oftentimes is negotiate with the lien holder. So you call the person who has a judgment from 15 years ago, and you knock on the door, and you say, hello, I'm here. You remember that judgment you got 15 years ago? We'd like to pay it. And if you get them to agree, even if you pay it out over time, they can get PennDOT to release the license back to the person who lost it because they didn't have insurance. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you're sitting out there and you don't have a driver's license because a judgment sits against your name because you were operating a car years ago uninsured, it's possible to get your license back if you enter into a payment plan with the judgment holder and they're willing to have PennDOT release your license back to you. So that's what we can do.
This is Court Radio on Philadelphia's R&B station, 107.9 WRMB. We're talking about cars, but what happens if you're sitting back and you're wondering what to do if you or someone you are close to are involved in an automobile accident, perhaps a slip and fall, personal injury, or medical malpractice? You can always contact the law offices of Silvers, Langsam & Weitzman, better known as MyPhillyLawyer.com. With over 100 years of combined experience, they will aggressively fight for you. Call now for your free personal consultation, and remember, they don't get paid until you get paid. For answers to your questions and more, call 215-227-2727. Again, that's 215-227-2727, or visit the home of MyPhillyLawyer.com. If you can't wait until tomorrow morning, you can always call us now in studio and we will help you. 215-263-1079. We have Jerry calling in from Philadelphia with a question. Jerry, good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
Good morning. How everybody going this morning?
All right. Thank you very much. And what's your question, sir?
Yes. I was living at a complex called Assembly Manor for 8 years. And it's a certain person that's there that he don't like me no more than I like him. And we've been had a little slight court case. And now I lost all my furniture and everything except my bike. And I want to know what I could really go prolong with it, because all my stuff was in storage. Some of it was damaged. and I couldn't make the payments back on it. After they had me down there for them, then they just took all my stuff, my whole wardrobe, everything.
Okay, who took your stuff, and why did they take it?
They took my stuff because they had a conviction on me, but it wasn't a conviction. It was that I did this, I did that. I get along with everybody in the building, in both buildings. It's like a senior citizen building.
So there was a judgment against you? Did they execute on the judgment?
They convicted me in October.
And was this restitution or something like that?
Excuse me?
Was it a restitution order that you had to pay back some restitution to the person who you allegedly injured?
No, this was supposed to have been, he called himself the landlord, but he's just on the management. I've been there, then he had, it was a certain person in my room, and he's not supposed to come in my room, so all I did was cuss him out, so he's been battling with me ever since then. See, I've been in the building since 1001, 8 years.
Wow, 1,000. I was going to say 1,001. That's.
I know.
We're just joshing with you.
Yes.
So, okay.
Well, the answer is that without knowing exactly what judgments or orders caused the property to be taken, it's very difficult to tell you what your rights are. But certainly, if you'd like to give us a call on Monday and bring down the paperwork that caused the property to be taken, we can let you know if there's any appeal rights or rights you might have. This is one of those situations where in order to retain an attorney, there is going to be fees charged on personal injury actions, on medical malpractice cases.
Right.
The attorneys will work on a contingent fee, which we can discuss. But on the vast majority of other matters, such as criminal representation, which my Philly lawyer is doing criminal defense work, and other matters that are more traditional by-the-hour events, there is going to be fees charged on your account for representation. With that being said, you know, by all means, feel free to give us a call tomorrow. We'll set you up and bring you down for an initial consultation, which will be free. Free. We'll let you know what your options are. Give us a call tomorrow and have a great day today. Thanks for calling us. You'll hear the number. I'll tell you, it's 215-227-2727. And for that, I'll be punished later. But
by Tiffany, yes. She will punish you later.
215-227-2727. Okay.
Thank you and have a great day.
All right. Thank you so much for your call. You are listening to Court Radio on Philadelphia's R&B station, 107.9 WRNB. Call us with your legal questions now, 215-263-1079.
Here's a scenario. What happens when you're walking across the street, bum, 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 mm-hmm. and you're struck by a car?
Ow.
The car has no insurance, and neither do you because you don't own a car. What happens in that case? Are you just have to suffer with your injuries, Mr. Rappaport?
Well, we get into something that gives me a little pain in my heart, although it is a good thing. It's just a pain to deal with. But Pennsylvania has something called the Pennsylvania Assigned Claims Plan. What is that? It's a fund, I guess, or a organization and a fund that's set up to specifically to protect innocent victims of automobile accidents.
Uninsured motorists.
Of course. If there's any insurance anywhere, they will not cover anywhere involved in the accident. They will not provide anything. But if there is not, as Dean's scenario suggested, then you can get a total of $15,000. $5,000 would be up to $5,000 for your medical, whatever you need for your injuries, medical treatment, and then another $10,000 can go towards what we call pain and suffering, which is, you know, everything other than medical bills.
Well, the bottom line is that you get 15. I mean, if you have $1,000 in medical bills, you can get up to $14,000 in pain and
absolutely,
suffering.
Absolutely,
absolutely. So there's a fund of money per person, $15,000. If you're an uninsured person, that means you do not own a motor vehicle. Mm-hmm. And the key here is you do not, nor did you ever own a motor vehicle that you kept in your name. For instance, a lot of times people will buy a car and they will not officially get it out of their name, even though the registration has lapsed and it's sitting somewhere unregistered, but it's just never gotten out. Or even maybe they sent it off to the junkyard, but they just never officially sent the paperwork to Harrisburg to remove the vehicle. As long as a vehicle is still legally owned by you, even though not currently registered, you are not eligible for this Pennsylvania assigned claims plan. So that is an incentive. If you have any cars in your name, but you don't no longer have them registered and you're not owning them, get them out of your name. Because God forbid, if you're involved in an accident walking across the street, or you're a passenger in a buddy's car and the friend doesn't have insurance and the car that hit you doesn't have insurance, there's somewhere you can go. You know, you don't have to be left high and dry so long as you comply. And one of the compliance procedures is that you don't have any cars in your name.
Okay.
Yeah, now, not to mislead you, anyone, when it says don't have any cars in your name, also there's no one in your household who's a relative, and that would be a blood relative, who owns a car with insurance. Because as we know from prior shows and from Mr. Weitzman telling us, if you live in a household where a resident relative owns a vehicle, then you are covered under that insurance policy. As a resident of that household.
Sure, you're living with your aunt or your uncle, your aunt has a car and they have insurance, you're living there, you're covered.
Yep. Okay.
And the, you know, the benefit is you get that coverage. The downside, of course, is that, you know, if auntie has a limited tort, you're a limited tort too.
I want to bring up one other point that always bothers me. I don't think we can say this enough. People, you have insurance, or you live in a household with insurance, use the insurance. I've had so many people come to me, they're afraid to use insurance because they don't want the rate to go up. We're going to repeat this again. The only time your rate can go up is if you cause an accident and your company pays out to someone else, or if you use your collision coverage. However, how much does it go up? It doesn't go up that much. I think it goes up approximately 10% if you're charged for an accident for a period of about 3 years. So if you're paying $2,000 a year for insurance, it'll go up $200 a year for 3 years, no matter how much they pay out. So don't be afraid to use insurance. People come in, I'm always amazed. Thousands of dollars a year they spend on premiums, and they're afraid to use their insurance. Use it whenever you need it. That's why you have it.
There you go.
You're listening to Court Radio on Philadelphia's R&B station, 107.9 WRNB. We are looking to hear from you with your legal questions on this topic or not. As long as it's a legal question, we're here to help. 215-263-1079. We have Falasa Aminra calling in from Darby, PA. Good morning. You're live
hey,
on
how
air
you
with
doing?
Court Radio.
Morning. Hello, Falasa.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm
all
doing
right.
Well. What's your
question?
Yeah,
I got a situation I need to be addressed. I was court-martialed in the military back in 1983 on a murder. I pled not guilty.
Okay.
All right? Now, I got two other co-defendants on this case. They played out, but I didn't. I had the wisdom to know, because I hadn't done anything wrong.
Okay.
They said the guy died on 7 May, 1983. But 3 days later, information, it was classified information, said that a murder never occurred. And they did not share that with my defense. And I just want some answers. I'm trying to get closures because my life hasn't been the same.
What's your question, Philosopher?
Okay, my question is, wasn't that information supposed to be shared with my defense?
Well, you said in 1983. Has anything happened between then and now? Like, when did you finally get this information? Just recently?
I got it under the Freedom of Information Act.
When, though?
Several years after, after I had already been serving time.
So you were incarcerated, you were found guilty?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well,
so you're talking about something which occurred 26 years ago or so, and that something that you, through the Freedom of Information Act, you realized that maybe 23 years ago. I'm no expert on military law, but I would say that probably the statute of limitations has come and gone on that.
I thought there was no statute of limitation on murder.
That's
being charged with murder for the event. But you're talking about, it sounds to me like you're talking about an appeal from your conviction based on new evidence. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I just need some answers. I mean, how can somebody be dead on 7 May 1983, but 3 days later you said a murder never occurred and you withheld that from my trial?
Mm.
We talking about NATO status enforcement treaties.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds a little crazy.
It sounds like a raw deal to me, but... sometimes after a couple of decades, even on legitimate cases, there's not a lot you can do to undo those problems.
All right. I'm so sorry, sir. I hope we were able to give you some help. If not, you can always contact us a little bit later and see what we can do for you. This is Court Radio on Philadelphia's R&B station, 107.9 WRNB. We are welcoming your calls. If you have a question, give us a call and we'll do our best to answer it for you. 215-263-1079. Marie, calling in from Yaden, PA. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning. How are you?
All morning. Right. Thank you much. And you?
I'm okay. I have a situation that's going on.
Okay.
I've been working for a nonprofit employment training program since August of last year. I have received one check because the people that I work for, the office is out of Philadelphia. So the people that I work for, they receive the money from Philadelphia and it's supposed to distribute it to the employers. I haven't received a check since September. And I have been faithfully still going to work. At this point, I have exhausted all of my funds in my account. I am broke. I can't even pay my rent in June. I need to know because the people have not given me any funds, and they have received funds.
Hmm.
I need to know what can I do.
Sue them.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing you should do is consult with a lawyer. And find out what avenues you can take to bring a claim against them.
Are you working in the city of Philadelphia?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm working in the city of Philadelphia. These people owe me right now over $9,000.
Yeah. Well, that's why they have courts and lawyers.
I hate to suggest this, but maybe you should stop working for them as a begin. You know, I mean, if you continue to work and you're not being paid, it doesn't make much sense. Is there any type of people, supervisors? Have you asked them? Or what do they say to you?
Well, they're just as crooked as the other people.
Well, you're going to need to seek counsel and go after them to get what's rightfully yours. And you should do that as soon as possible rather than just working and not being paid.
And make sure you have all your paperwork.
I do.
Okay.
I have my timesheet sitting right here in front of me where they stopped at and where they should... Where they stopped at as far as where they paid me from, and where they haven't paid me from, I have my timesheet.
There you go.
Are there other employees who haven't been paid?
No, because it's just me and the other person that's here in Philadelphia, which is my boss. So.
Well, then you're on your own. So go after them as soon as possible. Consult with a lawyer. Call My Philly Lawyer. I'm sure they can take care of you.
Okay, I'll do that tomorrow.
All right. Thank you so much. I hope we were able to help you a little bit.
Yes, you were. Thank you.
Okay. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
We also have Michelle calling in from Philadelphia. Michelle, good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Michelle.
What's your question?
Hi. My question is, I lived in Delaware County, ended up moving to Philadelphia County, I guess about 6 months ago. My car insurance rates went up about $6,500 just from moving from the suburbs to the city. I opted to keep my insurance in Delaware County until I'm able to find a cheaper, you know, insurance in Philadelphia. My question is, what are the repercussions if I get in an accident or if something ends up happening? Like, is there any way the insurance company could find out that I'm no longer living in Delaware County?
Yes. Happens all the time. They'll do an See, insurance companies are real. They'll take your money without asking questions.
Right.
Should that come as a surprise? But when it comes time for them to pay you,
they
ask a lot of questions.
and so,
you know, they will do a claims investigation, and if they find out that you're what they call a rate evader. It's a term of art. A rate evader is one who says they live in one jurisdiction in order to get a cheaper rate and then actually live somewhere else. They can do one of two things. They can hand you back your premium as if you never paid, and they can void your policy from the very beginning. And so it's as if you never had insurance, and they give you no coverage.
Wow.
So that's the one thing. So if you paid them a couple $1,000s, you'd go to make a claim, and they'd hand you back a check for $2,000 and say, have a nice day. We're voiding the policy because of a material misrepresentation. The other thing they could do is they could say, okay, well, you really didn't do the right thing by telling us you lived in Philly, but we're going to extend coverage, but we're going to bill you for that $6,500 that you should have paid us, and then they're going to sue you for the $6,500 and get a judgment against you. Neither one of those scenarios is particularly good at a time when you really need them to step up to the bat. And so I would say for your own peace of mind and for your own protection, you should promptly get good coverage in Philly and do your homework and find out the company with the best rates and get it, because otherwise you're going to be left high and dry when the time comes.
Yeah, unless you have a history of accidents or something, $6,500 sounds crazy to me. If it's just you.
Well, I have four vehicles.
Okay, four vehicles. All right, well,
so
there
you
go.
I don't know if that played a factor on that. Sure,
yeah, so, it does, so, yeah. you're paying maybe about $1,000, $1,500 more per vehicle.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's for four vehicles. That may be the rate.
Here's the good thing, Michelle. You get to live in the city of brotherly love.
And don't forget to purchase stacking coverage. We're going to talk about stacking in a moment, I guess, since it's come up.
All right. Thank you.
Explain to what that means.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks a lot, Michelle. This is Court Radio on Philadelphia's R&B station, 107.9 WRNB. If you have a legal question, we are here to help. 215-263-1079 is the number to reach us in studio. Renee is calling in from Yaden, PA, with a question. Renee, good morning. You are live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Renee. Renee, you're the second one from Yaden. This is technically not a double dip, so we'll allow you to. You and your girlfriend from Yaden are both calling in at the same time.
Okay.
Go ahead. Shoot, Renee.
Okay, I got a vehicle violation notice from the barrel on May 28th. I have a car that I bought from the auction, and before I could actually drive it, the transmission went on it. So I own my property, and I parked it in the back of my house on the property. It's not blocking the roadway or anything like that. It's not broken down. It's not decrepit, you know, nothing like that. It's still in good shape and all. It's just, I can't drive it. So the inspection ended on July of last year. But I haven't had it inspected because I haven't had money to get the transmission. I got a notice on the 28th and for expired inspection, expired registration, and a missing license plate because I got it from auction and never got it changed over because I only had it one day and the transmission went on me. Okay. And they gave me till June 1st to remove it, or I'll be charged a range of fines from $100 to $1,000 a day for each violation.
See, this is a reason why you live in the city of brotherly love, but you're unfortunately in Yaden. So, I will say to you this, you know, each borough has their own little borough regulations.
Yeah.
And, I can't tell you whether they're within their rights or not without knowing the regulation and looking it up for you. So, but I'd be happy to do that, tomorrow, if you'd like. You can call the office and give me the number of the statute or the regulation that they cite on their ticket, and we'll check that out for you. It seems to me that it should not be a ticketable offense if the vehicle is on your private property. You know, no different than if you had it in a garage with the garage door shut and you had a car in there with an expired registration and
but it's not on private. Is it on private property?
She said
it is. It's actually in we have an alleyway behind the house, and we had to have it paved a couple of years ago where we actually had to put money out and pave it ourselves. It's not like a state road.
Yeah, but
it's actually on my property line.
It's on your property. Okay. Well,
yeah.
That's
on my property. Yeah.
I think that would be the key. If it is physically and completely on your property, I would be surprised if they could ticket you.
Okay.
Sounds like a violation of your constitutional rights, which would trump the regulations and maybe be a grounds for bringing the borough of Yaden to the bar of the court.
You should fight these tickets, obviously, is what we're saying. And you probably need a lawyer to do that. But okay. Let's assess it first by and call the office, and we'll assess it for you.
Okay, and they didn't even give me, like, a code number, like a violation number of itself. You know how you know on a ticket to tell you what the violation is?
Right.
I don't even have a number. It just says, this involved subject vehicle is found in violation of the Borough of Yates property maintenance minimum housing and quality of life code.
Okay. Well, when you get up tomorrow, give them a call and ask them what the regulation number is for that violation, and then give us a call.
Okay.
Have a great Sunday.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks
all
a
right.
lot, Renee.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. This is Court Radio on Philadelphia's R&B station 107.9 WRNB. Now, remember, if you've been injured from an automobile accident, slip and fall, work-related mishap, or medical negligence, you can always call the attorneys at Silvers, Langsam & Weitzman, better known as MyPhillyLawyer.com. Don't you give it a second thought. Call for your free personal consultation. And remember, they don't get paid until you get paid. They have over 100 years of combined experience, so let them aggressively fight for you. You just sit back and get well. Call now at 215-227-2727 or visit their informative website at MyPhillyLawyer.com. Can't wait till tomorrow? Then you can call us right now, 215-263-1079.
You can call us right now for a few more minutes, but yes. You better get on it.
Yeah, so you might want to dial now, 215-263-1079. Debbie is calling in from Philadelphia with a question. Good morning, Debbie. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
What's your question?
A couple of years ago, there were three houses demoed next door to me. I kept informing that the house was clean, they were vacant. The one right next to me belongs to a guy down the street. It's becoming a nasty place, and it's bothering me real bad. He won't come and cut the grass. He won't clean it. Is there anything I can do? Can I clean it, and can I sue him and charge, you know, make him pay me back for cleaning it?
Because
he's saying he's not going to do anything to it.
Well, first of all, is any part of his property encroaching on your property? In other words, coming over onto yours?
Well, the weeds are.
Okay, well, anything that's on your property, you can dispose of. You can cut the weeds or whatever. I would hesitate to go onto his property and do anything because, A, it's not your property, and B, you could potentially, the claim could be made against you for doing that if you...
It's called trespassing.
You do something wrong, yeah. I definitely would not do that.
Could always call licenses and inspections.
That's what I was going to say. Call L&I. Tell them it's a nuisance. They'll come out and look at it and
ticket them.
You have done that?
I have. Last year they came out. The city don't do anything they say they're going to do. They cleaned it three times last year. We're going to bill him. We're going to charge him for the demoing of the house.
Right.
They have done nothing yet. The city has done nothing. They haven't been out here this year to clean it. 311, the mayor changed the... to 311, which is a terrible thing. It was much different and much better than now. You get people on the phone. I had a bad time with a Miss Robinson the other day. She would not transfer me. She would not give me a phone number. This is 311 City Hall, and it's terrible. They say they're going to come out and check it, but they don't do nothing. Who do the city answer to? You can't get to the mayor. Darrell Clark is my councilman. He does nothing. You call Melvin, you call them people, and they do nothing. They wait till you get tired of calling. They'll say, call me back. We'll get with you. Call me back. We'll do something. Call me back.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what I think you should do. Again, I know that you want to go onto that property and do what you want, but don't do that. Why do you do this? This will make it more powerful. Try and get everyone in the neighborhood together that you know who also finds these properties to be a nuisance, and collectively go to City Hall, collectively make a complaint to the councilman, collectively write a letter, do whatever you can as a group, and maybe it'll be more powerful that way. Other than that, I don't know what else to suggest to you, but I certainly don't think you should take it into your own hands, or you may find yourself, you know, liable for damages or something that you've done on the property, and that's not worth it. So anything on your property, sure, take care of. But other than that, I think
it's
you
next
should...
to my home. It's a horrible
done.
Oh, okay. Hold on, Debbie. Hold on. We understand you're very passionate about it, and it's a problem. So they gave you some advice. We need for you to follow that advice, because I don't think we can take it any further than that.
Yeah, there's really much more we can tell you, but get together as a group and go after the people, the powers that are supposed to be working for you.
Yeah, if Al and I gets a call from 20 neighbors, it's going to be a heck of a lot more meaningful than if they just get a call from you.
Yes.
And so this is where the power is in numbers. And that's the best advice we can give you. Thanks. And
all right. Thanks a lot, Debbie. And we wish you the best of luck with that. Also, we have Archie calling in from Philadelphia. Archie, good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Archie.
How you doing?
All right. What's your question, sir?
Yes. I had a vehicle I got insured. I let the insurance lapse for 30 days. 7 days after I received insurance, and my agent asked me, did I get a letter from Harrisburg, which I hadn't. And I drove for about a month with insurance. I got a letter from Harrisburg stating, our records indicate you have insurance, but you lapsed 30 days since your registration. So did all that, got a lawyer, got that straightened out. Now, in the meantime, my vehicle was parked in front of my door. When I came home, it was gone. So I called parking authority. They said they didn't have it. So I called the finance company thinking maybe they took it, but my payments were up to date.
Okay.
So now I called the police. They came. They tried to find out where it was at. They didn't locate it, so I said, should I report it stolen? They told me, yeah. I called the finance. I called the insurance. Let them know. Then they said, I need a DC number. So I called back to the police station. They gave me, I didn't get a DC number because the lady said, your vehicle wasn't stolen. It was towed. I said, well, who towed it? She said, abandoned. I said, well, the car's not abandoned. It's a new car in here. My tags were suspended. I live in North Philly. We don't have garages to put a vehicle. And I'm sure other parts of the city don't have garages.
So it was on the street?
In front of my door.
Okay.
So it was a Friday. I called abandoned. No answer. They're gone. So I called Monday. Spoke with a lady. She says, we have your vehicle. And I said, what do I have to do to get it? She said, you can't get it. Your registration is suspended under your name. Can you put in someone else's name? I said, no, I'm paying the finance on it. She said, you have a dilemma. I said, what you mean? She said, you can't get your vehicle. So I called Senator Kitchen's office. The lady tried to help me. She called Harrisburg. Harrisburg said, we don't have anything to do with it. That's municipal. So she said, we'll call your finance company, which was Covia. I called them, told them the situation. Said, can you put the vehicle? Retrieve the vehicle, put it in your storage until registration come back, put the whatever fees within my car payment.
Right.
It says, no, in the state of Pennsylvania, we won't do that. We'll retrieve your vehicle, hold it 15 days, put it up for auction, and put you for repo. I said, well, how can you do that? My payments are up to date. He said, well, that's what we do when we retrieve a vehicle. That's what it goes down as, a repo.
What, let me ask you a question. Why was your registration suspended or revoked in the first place?
Because he drove without insurance for a little while. And it was suspended.
It was only 5 days.
I had insurance. At the end of my policy, I was looking for a different insurance. I let the 30-day lapse. 7 days after, I got insurance.
Right.
I went back to the same agent. Ended up going back. So, like I said, I drove, about a month or so, and then I got the letter from Harrisburg.
Right.
Wow. You were in it. Yeah, this is a dilemma.
Well, but the,
you're in
the
a bureaucracy
point is,
dilemma.
A bureaucracy dilemma. No, but the how long was your vehicle's registration suspended for?
They suspend you for 90 days.
90 days. Okay. The problem is that the vehicle needs to be moved into somebody else's name, and it can't be moved into somebody else's name because you have a note on it.
Right. But the thing is, now, they sold the vehicle.
Wow, you have our head spinning right now. This is one problem after another, compounded.
Okay, when I got in touch with the finance company, and they told me what they would do with the vehicle. So I talked to the lawyer that straightened out my registration, which is a school district.
Okay.
And he told me to tell them to leave the vehicle at the impound. Wachovia retrieved it anyway. They called me and told me this outrageous price that I owed them. I said, well, where's the fees from? He said, from the impound and our fees.
From the small print on the contract. You have our hearts breaking here, but what's the question?
The question is, all right, the vehicle, after 15 days, they sold it. They called me and said they sold the vehicle for $6,600. I owe $18 on the vehicle. Now they're $13.
Exactly. You're coming up short $13,000. And under the contract, in all likelihood, they're well within their rights to do that. Unfortunately, I refuse to believe that there wasn't a better solution somewhere along the lines that could have been worked out. But at this point, having the vehicle been repoed, sold at a short sale, and it's sort of like all the damage is done, I don't know that there's an answer today that's going to get you out from that 13.
Yeah.
But I would suggest to you that if you'd like to discuss that further, and it may be, this may be bordering on the an issue of bankruptcy, and that's something that can be explored to get rid of that $13,000 judgment. But that's certainly another option. It's something you should look into, perhaps, so that you know your rights fully. But by all means, give us a call tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, and have a great day.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you, too.
All right. Thanks a lot, Archie. And we are now at the end of the program, fellas. We've had quite a few calls. Hopefully we were able to help quite a few people. And we thank you again for listening. We are joining you each and every Sunday starting at 7 a.m. Final thoughts, fellas, before we go.
Final thoughts.
Next week's show.
Next week's show is on medical malpractice.
Okay.
We're going to be joined by a medical malpractice attorney, Michael Barrett.
And Chris has just told me I need to mention real quick stacking. I said stacking. We didn't say what it was.
Oh, thanks, Chris.
When you have multiple cars on your insurance policy, you can ask for what's called stacking, which means that your certain coverages will be compounded by or multiplied by the amount of cars that you have.
I think that was Renee's question.
Yeah.
Yes. Renee has four cars. Let's say she has $15,000, the minimum coverage of uninsured motorist on each of her cars. If she has non-stacking and she gets into an accident and she needs to dip into her uninsured motorist because the car that hit her didn't have insurance, she can get $15,000. If she has stacked coverage, she can take that 15, stack it over the four cars, and instead get $60,000.
It
is a very, very small additional premium to obtain stacked coverage. Your insurance companies won't necessarily advertise that.
Ask your agent, because they probably won't tell you about it either.
But you want stacked coverage. It's one of those pay a few pennies and get a whole lot more makes, all the sense in the world. So
yes.
With that last tip of the day, we're running out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us this week again for another fabulous episode of Court Radio.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking forward to coming back next week, and we'll see you the same time in the same place.
Absolutely. And thanks again for listening. Please don't go anywhere. We have Philly Speaks with E. Stephen Collins coming up next. Much love. Sorry. He's crazy in the background. Yes. E. Stephen Collins is coming up next. Much love to our producer, Brad Chris, for always doing an excellent job. Peace, love, and prosperity. See you next week.
To download or hear more Court Radio podcasts, log on to 1079wrnb.com or mediafire.com/courtradio.